Third and goal from the six. Pressure's coming. Murray breaks away. Murray throws on the run. Back of the end zone. Caught Hopkins. Did he get in bounds? He did. Touchdown, Cardinals.
Well, there's a highlight from last year. Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals. By the way, our friend Tom McCarthy on that call. Just noticed that. So we're going to keep the conversation going about the arena. If you have anything about the Phillies, we will get your calls in, and we will get them in this segment, 215-592-9494. But it was big news toward the end of this week, Jody, when Kyler Murray, who at one point looked like he actually might get a divorce from Arizona, signs a five-year contract, $230 million, becomes the second-highest-paid quarterback in the NFL behind Aaron Rodgers. $105 million of that guaranteed as soon as he writes his name. What does that mean potentially? This is my question for you. What does that mean potentially for Jalen Hurts and your Philadelphia Eagles?
The price of poker just went up again, which it does every single time there's a new signing in the National Football League and Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL, because salaries only go up and up and up and up and up. So every time you think you've seen a contract, you could never see the likes of again. Oh, it gets topped a couple months down the road. So no one should be surprised at the announcement of what Kyler Murray's going to make. Oh, yeah, Jalen Hurts just got more expensive. And the Eagles have nothing they can do about it. I know everyone wants the answer today, Glenn. Is Jalen Hurts our quarterback, not only for 2022, but 2023 and 2024, and they want it now, but there's nothing anyone can do about it. You can have an opinion. You've got yours. I've got mine. Everybody else has got their opinion on what Jalen Hurts will be in the future this year and other years as well. It's not like the Eagles could try and get ahead of it and say, well, let's cut a deal now, because every time we do this, we get a team-friendly deal if we do it ahead of time. You know when they last did a team-friendly deal at quarterback, Glenn? That would be Carson Wentz. So how did it work out that they got ahead of the curve before the money went up and up and up and up and up? So even if they wanted to do that, they can't. You're not allowed to negotiate a contract with a fourth-year player when he's only played 2 years. Second-round draft pick.
I agree. He has 2 years left on the contract. But it means nothing for this moment unless they decide. I mean, they could theoretically, right, rip it up and give him a new deal. They have
no, they can't.
Oh, you can't? They can't.
It is against the rules.
Oh,
you cannot negotiate. You cannot extend a contract on a player who is a non-first-round draft pick. A first-round draft pick, you got to wait 5 years. You've got that fifth year that you can pick up the option. Jalen Hurts wasn't a first-round pick, so he's a second-rounder. It could second in any other year thereafter. You cannot negotiate past that first contract until you get to the final year of it.
Okay.
So even if they wanted to, they couldn't do it. That's what makes me nuts about this. All these Eagle fans, move on now. No, let's get him signed. He's going to break out. He's going to have a big year. All these opinions are great, but they have no effect whatsoever.
At this moment, and you are correct, and I appreciate that. What it means is then, thus, after one more year, either you keep him at a huge amount. I'm not saying he's going to make what Kyler Murray makes, but you're right. The rising tide raises all boats. Is that the expression?
Yes.
Right? So guys like him, I'm trying to think, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, right? They're all in that class, I think.
Correct.
Okay. So all of those guys looked at that contract yesterday and said, hey, if I have a good year, well, I'm taking care of the next six generations of my family.
Easy street, correct.
Yeah.
And we'll here's my position, Glenn, which annoys Eagle fans. You know, on my Birds 365 show, we get feedback from Eagle fans all the time. I think there's a real chance that it lands in the middle. And it is the last thing that Eagle fans want to hear. Either Jalen Hurts has a really bad year and you go, oh, shoot, they have to get a new quarterback. This isn't going to work. We need to start. The future is now. We need to go via the draft or free agency or whatever. We need another quarterback. Jalen Hurts is not the guy. Or Jalen Hurts goes and balls out and he plays himself into the top 10 quarterbacks. And yeah, it's going to be expensive because all these new deals have been done and we didn't think Jalen Hurts was going to be a $45 million quarterback, but he is. So we got to pay him. Or they could just play it out again and kick the can down the road and make him play on the last year of his rookie deal and say, we need to continue to evaluate. Here's the reason why I think that's going to, that has a real chance of happening, even though nobody is going to like that. They are not going to get one of the top two quarterbacks in this upcoming draft.
Correct. They're going to be good. They're going to get the
gonna win
20th, 24th pick, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And they've got the Saints pick. And I am of the opinion that the Saints are actually going to be okay, even without Peyton as their coach. There's a major drop-off in the coach. But Jameis is back and is healthy and is looking better, and they've got some talent on that defense. I don't think the Saints are going 5-13 either, so they're not going to have a high pick with that one. Even combining the two, I don't think it's going to get them into the top two or three picks, and I think those two quarterbacks, Young and Stroud, are coming off the board in the top three picks. So if I told you Anthony Richardson is going to be the guy to lead the Eagles going forward, does that excite you, the quarterback from Florida this year? Well, because he's going to be one of the next
guys.
Levis of Kentucky, does that get you your Eagle blood pumping, G-Mac?
It does not. And your point is taken. The only counter I'll put to that is once upon a time, not that long ago, the Eagles had the 13th pick of the draft. And somehow Howie parlayed that and made a deal and another deal, and they ended up with the second pick and Wentz. So if the Saints, you think the Saints will be good, and say the Saints are average, so that the Saints pick falls in somewhere in that 13-16 range, hey, the man did it once. Could do it again.
And I will give Howie credit for it, and this is even adding in the fact that Carson played out the way that Carson played out. I remember that year. There weren't nearly as many teams in the National Football League that are going to be quarterback needy that'll be at the top of the draft that year as there was, as I think there's going to be this year. Because there's a whole bunch of teams that are going to have to turn the quarterback position over. Two of which are in the division, Washington and the Giants, the Lions, the Vikings may go down that road. Certainly the Falcons have to. You got faith in either Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold becoming the guy in Carolina?
No, I thought it was interesting when you put the Lions in there, too.
Well, the Lions, Jared Goff, really think he's the long-term answer?
No, but he was the guy, it was Wentz and Goff.
Right, it was Wentz and Goff, right. Thank you very much. Yeah. Didn't see where you're going with that. The Seahawks are basically tanking. They're doing a process this year. They're sticking with Drew Lock as their quarterback when they could have at least gone out and gotten Baker Mayfield, which is an upgrade, and they said, no, we're good. What do you mean you're good? Your quarterbacks stink. They're talking about Geno Smith potentially playing for them. So there are a whole bunch of teams that it's nice that you put those two picks together and go, ooh, but we can move up. Well, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
You're going to call Seattle because they've got the third pick. No, we're taking a quarterback. Why would we trade with you, Philadelphia? I'm not seeing the path whereby the Eagles get into a position to take one of the top two quarterbacks this upcoming draft.
Well, it's a good point. And since we discussed economics in the first hour, I will relate it to the my one economics class I took in college, which was supply and demand. And what you're telling me is that there's going to be a lot more demand among teams in the NFL this year for a good rookie quarterback, and the supply is pretty low, which will make it that much tougher for the Eagles.
Yep.
Point taken. Kenny in the Northeast, you're on with Jody McDonald and Glenn Mack now. Hey, Kenny.
Good morning. How are you?
All right.
Just in passing, I mean, I worked on the gallery when they did that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and, I mean, that was supposed to be the big draw in the center city. And, I mean,
yes.
All that money went into center city 40 years ago. Now they're talking about knocking that down. You know what I mean? And if I'm not mistaken, they're closing the Starbucks one block away from a place that's supposed to be, going to be drawing all these cases in the center city.
Well, I know that. I read Starbucks is closing places all over the country, so that may be part of that. But your bottom line point is that if something was supposed to happen in that neighborhood and it didn't work, and will this work? I don't know. Again, I'm just getting back to my original point. All of the arguments of when you build a sports complex, an arena in a neighborhood, it revitalizes the neighborhood, and they create all this economic impact. That's bogus economics. I've been around it long enough to know it doesn't happen. And I'll ask you and I'll ask Jody a question, and maybe the answer is simple. How come there have, in all of the years we've had the sports complex, the only place that's kind of flourished down there is Xfinity Live? Well, Chickies and Pete's, which is whatever blocks away. How come there hasn't been more down there?
Well, because I think people can go and they get in their car and they drive to Xfinity Live. And if they, and it's like another venue instead of being there. Instead of being in the stadium itself, you're right across the street and all the action's still right there.
Yeah, maybe. Jody, what do you think?
And we're indebted and grateful to Chickie and Pete's because they've been a sponsor for the station forever. And they've got the shuttle that runs from Chickie and Pete's over to whatever sporting venue may be going to. Do you really think there's a major carryover there? I think people go to Chickie's and Pete's because it's Chickie's and Pete's because it's just that good. Not that
I do think on game nights. So I used to do a show there from 6 to 10. And on game nights, there would be people coming in before the game. Yeah.
Okay.
All yeah. Right. Or watching the game there. And I think it works. And Xfinity Live clearly gets good crowds.
But those people that are watching the game there, do you think they're doing so because they're a quarter mile away from the actual game? Or do you think they're watching the game there because it's a fun place to watch the game and it could be anywhere in Philadelphia?
B, it's probably every Chickies and Pete's.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 And again, it gets to my point. I just don't think that, you know, listen, I love the city to flourish. I love this city. I would love 10th and Market to be the centerpiece of urban beauty and action and stuff, but I don't buy that it's going to happen. I just don't. Neil wants to talk a little Phillies. Neil, you got a proposed trade today?
Yeah, well, definitely, I think Painter and Hop, you know, like for a pitcher because they need a starting pitcher. I don't think there's any doubt or doubt that, especially after losing yesterday, like 15-2, and Gibson having another, and with Eflin, you know, like being hurt and there's a question mark if he could come back. I think they have to definitely get in.
So Jody McDonald, given where the Phillies are now, which is they're contending for a wild card spot. They're not a division winner. They're a long shot to go to the World Series, but they could make the playoffs for the first time in 11 years. Should they, Jody Mac, trade? Is Painter the best pitcher in the system?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Ohapi is the catching prospect.
Good
prospect.
Is their best non-pitching prospect. So you're giving up two of your best three prospects.
Oh, well, so you know what the question's going to be.
I know what the answer is. No. I don't care how good a pitcher you're getting in exchange for them because that pitcher doesn't guarantee them anything. Would increase their chances to make the playoffs. They become a favorite to be a wild card team. But then you got to go into the playoffs and you got to win to justify that. No, I would not give up those two guys to get any pitcher who's going to be available at the trade deadline.
Yeah, but Jody, don't you think Middleton, after, you know, especially the fourth leading salary in baseball, wants to finally get in the playoffs and, you know, and then get people and maybe carried over, you know, like August and September and get crowds at Citizens Bank?
Yes. You're saying he's, to use a card-playing reference, pot committed, and he is. But there's a bad bet. You don't just because you put some money in and you know what you've got two pair, but another guy's got three clubs, and he's betting like he's got those other two clubs in the hole. I don't necessarily stay. I don't always stay because I've already put a lot of money into the pot. No, you have to make an individual call, and I'm not. That's too big a price for me to pay to get a pitcher to upgrade this rotation.
I love the poker reference. I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic because what you said makes a lot of sense. I think they're going to feel a lot of pressure. You know, they spent this year. They put all the money into Castellanos, Schwarber. They haven't made the playoffs in all those years. They have a chance to do it. I think he is going to feel pressure. What will be interesting to see is if Dombrowski feels that pressure.
The only thing I'll say is Dombrowski, if you're I'm not only a poker player but a horse player, so past performances are key to making calls on what's going to happen in the future before those gates open. Dombrowski's past performance is, when in doubt, go for it.
Yes.
So if you're trying to judge him and what he will advise Milton to do, he is a guy who has said, yes, we're on the doorstep. We got to do what we have to push the door further open. I don't, depending on the asking price, it could be very inadvisable.
We are 9 days away from the trade deadline. I'm going to tell you there is a 75% chance that they make a deal, which is not a marginal deal. I'm not telling you they're going to trade for an ace, but they're going to make a deal where they will trade for like a number three starter or a seventh, eighth inning reliever or a center fielder. I'm going to put it at 70%.
Could happen, but if that's the case, you might be giving up one of your best three prospects.
And I don't regret it in 3 years.
Possibly. Exactly right.
Harvey in Somerton's with us. Hey, Harvey.
Hi. Hi, Eminem. It's great to hear you guys together again.
Thank you.
I want to comment on the arena. There's so many different aspects that I don't like about it. First, how it would affect the Chinatown community. They already have been affected by so many different things. The Vine Street Expressway completely cut the neighborhood in half. And then there's one aspect that nobody's bringing up. The state built a gigantic convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for profit. The thing is, how is the arena going to affect it if the convention center wants to have different shows and different conventions there? How's
how do you mean? How do you mean affect it? You mean just because
well,
too many people?
The parking.
Oh, it's going to be insane. The parking's going to be insane.
And the city of Center City. The streets are not wide, and I could see so many different problems with people trying to get into the arena while other people are trying to get out of the garage after work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just seems mind-boggling how this is going to affect the city.
I share your concerns, and I'm sorry, Harvey, I let you go. I apologize. I share your concerns. I really would like to hear from people with the other position because I know there are a lot of people who like it, and Jody, we're kind of getting the amen chorus today of people who agree with us. I want to hear from people who think it's a good idea. I do think it's going to be the parking and the traffic and is going to be insane. But
which do you think is worse, parking or traffic?
Parking.
So do I.
But
I'll deal
close.
With traffic.
Traffic's going to be terrible.
You and I are both of enough of an age that we've dealt with traffic our entire lives. And
oh, gosh,
I'm a
yes.
former New York City resident who moved to Philadelphia, so I've lived in major metropolises my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've dealt with traffic. And you just get it. You got to put up with it. You got to be able. And the one thing that's nice, and again, you and I have been doing this for too many years, there are things you can do in your car now that you just could not do previously. You used to sit there in the car, and other than change the radio dial, you had no other option.
Spin around that AM dial back in the day.
Try and find a baseball game from 400 miles away.
Yeah.
Now there's things you can actually do while you're in your car that doesn't make it as big a waste of time as it used to be. But there's nothing more frustrating than just looking for a parking space or pulling into a lot and waiting 25 minutes. Tip-off is in 35 minutes, and it takes you 25 minutes to park your car for $50 for the 2 hours that it's going to be there. Oh, that's the thing that's going to absolutely kill if they go.
How much you think they're going to? Again, you come from New York. How much you think they're going to charge you for parking for a game? Sixers playing a Saturday night. You know those? The parking lot's going to be $75.
I was going to say north of 50.
Yeah,
I don't know if it'll get to 100, but it'll be north of 50.
See, the traffic to me is a big concern because of the location. So, and again, when you're down, it's impossible to get out of the stadium after an Eagles game or a Phillies game or, you know, Flyers, Sixers. It's so hard to get out of those lots. And one of my gripes over the years has been that they never, for whatever reason, station cops or traffic guards or somebody at the end to kind of direct people. It's just, it's bumper cars, everybody trying to get there at the same time. But once you get out, you do get into traffic, but everybody's going in a different direction. Do you know what the Vine Street Expressway, which is two lanes, do you know what it's going to be like trying to move all those people onto Once you're on, it's going to be nuts. But get onto the Vine Street Expressway? Oh, Jody, it's going to be nuts. Okay.
Agreed.
Coming up, what we're watching, Jody McDonald and I give you our favorite shows of the year, particularly helpful on a night when the Phillies get blown out 15-2. So, you know, people say to me, like, how do you have this time to watch TV? I don't think I watch more TV than other people. I just kind of know when and when not to watch it. 215-592-9494. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now on 94.